Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode,
people have great difficulty just opening up and talking. And I think that it's great, Sophia, that you you want to talk to her. Obviously, this is really important to you as a friendship, and so you don't want to just give up on it. I think that it always builds character when we actually try to face the difficulties in relationships and actually talk about them.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Rewilded Human Podcast. We are so happy to have you guys back with us. And as always, please continue to send us your questions and make sure if you're watching on YouTube to like and subscribe. Very, very important for the algorithms. So we are going to start with the first question from Helen. Lucille?
And Helen writes in, I've been ghosted by someone I was really into, and it's left me feeling hurt and confused. Should I try to reach out and get closure, or is it better to move on? Helen, I assume this is someone you're interested in romantically, although this is a problem that happens in friendships as well. You know, when you think you've got a good friend and all of a sudden they just disappear. And it is very painful. I empathize with you. I can understand how you're feeling hurt and confused. You know, there's a lot that goes on here. And one of the things is to think about what happened. What do you recall happening in the relationship before this person started ghosting you? You know, sometimes, and I'm sure Lynn, you've also had this experience where there are sort of like red flags or things that seem a little bit off, but of course we never talk about them.
Ignore
them, and then you realize, ooh. That turned out really different from the way I had expected. One of the things that I've discovered is you don't know people until you've known them for a very long time.
This is very true.
And, you know, and so, and this is why this is one of the reasons I think dating is so perilous, because you don't really have enough time to really get to know the person before you start developing deep feelings for them. You know, you get those wonderful feelings and you have the story. Everybody gets the story in their head of their future together and all of that. And you may be missing certain red flags, or you may be making excuses for why things don't seem to be quite aligned with what you'd hoped for, and you're going on and on, and all of a sudden the person dumps you. And it's very, very painful, because you've already gone on this trajectory in your head, like, oh wow, this is going so well, or I can picture us having our honeymoon, or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You know, and we all get caught up in that.
Yes.
And one of the things that I think is really, really important is we seem to be talking about this as a theme, is communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really learning to communicate right from the get-go, and how to communicate so that when there is a red flag or something that, you know, is a contradiction, that you know how to start asking questions. You don't just let it go. You start asking questions. Now, sometimes You may be doing that. You may be trying to do that, and you seem to be getting all the right answers or whatever, and the person will still dump you. You know, again, you don't know people until you know them for a good chunk of time. So, you know, I would suggest that for the most part, if you've tried at least once or twice to reach out and you're getting no response, that's a good indicator to move on. And I would say, yeah, try to figure out what did or didn't go right. That's always important. But, you know, sometimes you just may never know the answer to that. And you kind of have to be okay with it and grieve it and move on. So I don't know. That's my two cents worth. Lynn, what do you think?
I think, Helen, thank you so much for your question. I think we're always looking for closure, right? We want to know what happened or what we did wrong. So I think that's really important for our hearts. But I think sometimes in this world, you just don't get that. And I think behavior is a language in itself. So the fact that this person is ignoring you tells you pretty much everything you need to know. I mean, it really depends how much you cared for this person, how much they matter to you. If they didn't matter that much, I would just let them go and kind of move on and write them off. It's funny, this whole ghosting thing, like we didn't even have this concept or this word ghosting. This is fairly new, right? I remember I just heard it for the first time. Like, what does that even mean, ghosting? And I think in today's technological world, it's so different than when we were younger, because, you know, it wasn't like you could just block someone, or, you know, you were dating someone from your village or from your town and you couldn't just ignore them because you'd run into them. It was like a really different world back then. So now it's like you can just block somebody and they can't communicate with you anymore. And, you know, we have friends and relationships from all around the world. So it's a really, really different kind of environment now. So I think, Helen, if you really, really feel deeply for this person and you feel like your soul needs this closure, then try to reach out maybe one final time and just say, okay, this will be my final message. I will let you be. But, you know, I just wanted to know what I did wrong or what I could have done better, if you need that for your soul. And if not, then sometimes it's just better to move on and let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to realize if people are into ghosting, they're likely not the kind of people that you want to have a relationship with anybody. It doesn't show any kind of strength or integrity, strength of character or integrity.
Or communication skills, which is really important in any relationship. Exactly. So if they're lacking that, or they don't have enough respect for you as a person, enough like, love, or respect as a person, to let you know what the problem is, then do you really want this person in your life? I probably wouldn't. But I think you and I think we both agree on that. We've come to the point where it's like quite easy for us to let go of people now, you know, friendships, relationships, things like that. As you get older, also with the past 3 years, you know, we lost a lot of friends and I'm just, okay, whatever. I've grown really tough skin when it comes to that. So that's what we have for you, Helen. Hopefully that will help. And let us know, you know, write back to us and let us know let us know what happens so we can have some closure as well. Right?
Yes, we would like closure too.
We want closure too. Moving on to Sophia. Sophia asks, my best friend and I had been inseparable for years, but recently she's been growing distant and making new friends. I'm feeling left out and hurt. How can I talk to her about my feelings without pushing her away? Female friendships, can they get any more complex?
That's true.
Often relationships are even more complex than marriages, right?
Yeah, because there's so many more emotional layers in a female friendship, or female platonic friendship than sometimes between a traditional husband and wife relationship. I like this question a lot, Sophia, because I don't know if you've noticed it, Lynn, but women don't talk as much about their difficulties with friendships with other women. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that it's only recently that women have become more open. You see more on social media where women talk about struggling with their female friendships, or that, you know, they're having a hard time making friendships with other women. Mm-hmm. It used to be kind of a taboo. You didn't really talk about that much, but that's, I think, a really good challenge for us as a society to really start, you know, we women talking about how it can be very difficult to navigate female relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and here we come back again to communication, don't we,
yes.
Lynn? It's always like people have great difficulty just opening up and talking. And I think that it's great, Sophia, that you you want to talk to her. Obviously, this is really important to you as a friendship. And so you don't want to just give up on it. I think that it's always, it always builds character when we actually try to face the difficulties in relationships and actually talk about them with each other.
Sorry.
There's so much that can be from that. So many things, like, as you say, closure, you know, as you said, clear closure. There can be a lot of self-growth. You have to get over your own fear, insecurity, lack of confidence to just, you know, open up. And you learn a lot about the other person that you may not have known, which either helps you to make a decision about ending the relationship or making it more superficial. Or on the other hand, it can open up a deep enough discussion that you both realize, you know, this friendship is really worth it and we both want to work on it. You know, sometimes it can lead, those conversations, the hard conversations can lead to deeper relationships.
The deeper intimacy, definitely. But I think with, like, I have a lot of friends, different friends, and I have different friends for different reasons, for different purposes. So, for example, maybe Sophia's best friend enjoys doing certain things with other friends. Like, I have friends that are very emotional that I would go to if I had, like, real problems. Then I have other friends that I would go hiking with. I have other friends that are, I give me the tough love that I'm craving at certain times. So I think just like with a husband or in a main relationship, one person can't be your everything. I think it's also, it shouldn't be expected of one person to be your best friend and to be your everything in every regard. So maybe Sophia, your best friend, has different needs that you're not able to fulfill, which is fine because you shouldn't have to be, have that pressure on you that you have to fulfill your friend's every need. And maybe your friend just enjoys going dancing with another friend or doing things with other friends. And I think that's fine. And I don't think that, you know, as long as you still have your friendship and you feel secure in your friendship, I think it's a lot of our insecurities that we project onto others. And if you start getting insecure and possessive of your friend, then maybe that's what's pushing your friend away. Like, I used to have a friend way back, and she was very possessive, and she would get upset even when I would spend time with my parents because she wanted to monopolize my time 24/7 all the time. And that just drove me away like crazy because I like friendships to be, you know, a nice, joyful relationship where I feel, you know, the person lifts me up and gives me good energy. I don't want relationships or friendships to be heavy and a burden. And I don't want to spend time with people that drain my energy. So maybe, Sophia, just working on yourself a little bit, maybe talking to your friend about it and just not being needy. Nobody likes a very needy person. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, and you don't have also, I like everything that Lynn has said. It's quite true. There's a kind of myth that if you have a best friend, you're going to be best friends for life. And it doesn't work that way because, you know, as human beings, and this is where I like the whole concept of rewilded, we're not like domesticated cattle that spend our whole time in one pasture eating the same grass and having the same communication with the same other cows. And we're dynamic and creative, growth oriented for the most part beings. We need to keep growing. And sometimes it's just kind of a natural thing that you I don't like the word outgrow, but you tend to grow along a different path or take a different journey than your best friend. And it's important, I think, to just be accepting of that you're both going to grow. You're not both going to grow along the same line. And that's good. In many ways, that's really good because that means you keep expanding, you keep having, you can have a more full and more rich life. But yes, there's a painful side of it, which is that you don't have the same relationship you had before.
Yes.
However, you know, you can have more, you can have more room for allowing other friendships in. So, yeah, I think that, I hope we've addressed your question. But I think one of the things, if you're going to talk to her, you might want to just realize that it's very important to come at any conversation with a sense of curiosity and compassion and a desire to really understand the other person rather than to just, and I'm not saying you're necessarily going to do this, Sophia, but you don't want to come across as, oh, you've hurt me so badly. How can you do this to me? You know, you don't want to come across as accusatory. You don't want to be dumping your emotions, your raw wounds on your friend. You might want to start with in a very light vein and say, listen, you know, I've just noticed over the last little while that we, you know, you don't seem to be wanting to get together as much. And is there something that, you know, you'd like to share with me? I'd like to understand what's happening, and, you know, and see if you can just open up, you know, a non-judgmental, safe conversation with another. So yes. That would be my advice.
Really good advice, Lucille. I love it. So we're moving on to the next question.
Okay, let me queue up the next question. Yes, this is from Liam. I've been struggling with imposter syndrome at work, even though I know I'm qualified for my job. How can I overcome this self-doubt and start believing in my abilities? Well, that's a really great question. Haven't we all been there?
Yeah.
I
think this is very common, much more common than we realize.
Very, very, very common. I've been doing the work I've been doing. I psychiatry, psychotherapy, and coaching here and there. I've been doing it like for over 35 years now. And there are still times every once in a while when I think, what am I doing?
am I really?
Who do I think I am giving all this help to people? I don't even know what I'm doing. Part of it, and you know, I'd love to hear your take on it too, Lynn, is part of it is that the more, sometimes just the more you do what you do and the more successes you have at it, it kind of imprints on you finally that, yeah, I can do this. When the work becomes less hard, when you start flowing with it and you just kind of know what to do without racking your brain about what's the next thing I need to do, then you start relaxing and feeling less of an imposter and more genuine at what you do. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really, I think, key is when people recognize you.
Mm-hmm. Validation is so important.
Validation, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they are giving you positive feedback and telling you, you know, that really helped. Thanks so much. I appreciate that. It's a process, you know, it's really a process of feeling into becoming more competent by doing your job more and also by accepting the feedback from other people. So I wouldn't worry. I'm sure, you know, Liam, if they were honest with you, I'm sure you have colleagues and, you know, maybe bosses and supervisors who still have that sense of being an imposter every once in a while. So you're definitely not alone. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lucille. And I think it's really important. It's really interesting that most of the time, the people that do have this imposter syndrome are the ones that are actually very qualified and very good at what they're doing. And on
That's
the other
point.
Hand, you have the other people with this great confidence, they're overconfident and they're doing a really crappy job. So it's usually these two extremes, am I right? So
yeah.
So chances are, Liam, that you're doing great and you are appreciated for what you do. And obviously you wouldn't have the position that you have if you weren't the right person for it. So I think it'll just come, you know, with time, the building up your self-confidence, feeling more confident in what you're doing, getting feedback from your coworkers, from your management or bosses, and just feeling better about yourself. I think that's really important. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's a journey.
It's a journey. It's a work in progress. I go through this all the time as well. You know, I've been invited to so many different podcasts by people, and I've always declined because why would you want to interview me? I have nothing to say. So I always
So the next time you are invited, Lynn, I issue you a challenge. You're just going to accept.
Only if you come with me. If you come with me, we'll do it together. Then I will do it. I don't know. Just for me, like to be on the, you know, in the spotlight and to be questioned, that terrifies me. So I think, yeah, sometimes we need to step out of our comfort zone and do things. So this is why I'm doing this podcast, but I'm doing it with you. And it's a different kind of feeling, but I definitely wouldn't want the spotlight just on me. That would be a terrible feeling for me. So here that gets us to the last question, which is from Maya. And Maya is asking, I've been married for a while and my partner and I have grown apart. We're like roommates now. How can we rekindle our romance and bring back the spark in our marriage? So this is a very common theme. Have you noticed we're getting kind of similar questions along the lines of, you know, marriages after a while, they're getting a little bit stale and the sexual chemistry isn't the same. And I've heard this a lot of times from people that they feel like, you know, they're just kind of going through the motions and it's like living with my best friend or my brother or a roommate. And to bring back the spark into the marriage, that's really important. And the good thing is that you can always rekindle the romance. And I think Lucille, you take it first. I need to collect my thoughts.
No, you're doing fine.
I lost my train of thought. Profound with this, but I'm going to pass it over to you.
This is why we're here for each other, right?
Yes, save me.
You know, I think it's great, Maya, that you want to rekindle that romance. And as Lynn said, it is such a common issue in marriages that have gone on for a while. In fact, a lot of people really believe that that's just the natural outcome. After you've been with your partner for a certain number of years, you just kind of take each other for granted and, you know, there's no romance anymore and you are roommates, right? And I think you're probably feeling the pain of what that feels like. It's empty. This is where people can feel very alone and lonely, even when they're in a relationship. Now, if you think about it, how we're raised in our worlds, it's kind of like we are raised to be in routines. You know, it's so expected of us that we, you know, if we're in school, we just study hard, we come home, we do our homework, and then we go back to school the next day and we do the same thing over and over again. Same thing with our jobs. We are kind of taught not to be wild and free and unfettered and creative and spontaneous. That's just not it. We're supposed to be very domesticated, performance oriented, and the standards for how we perform come from other people. You know, they come from our teachers and our bosses. But, you know, past a certain age, you know, young childhood, we are kind of constricted into, we have certain things we have to do every day. The routine becomes more important than our creativity, our vitality, our fun, our spontaneity. So I think this is why it's such a big problem. People at their essence, I think, really do want to have, you know, creative spark and play and spontaneity and all of that, but it's kind of drummed out of us. Mm-hmm. So it does take a bit. It's another process. And again, as we've said, like Lynn, I think we're becoming like like broken records over and over again. You know, see if you can just start a conversation with your partner, you know, and say, you know, love you very much. And, you know, I love our marriage. And I'm feeling like I'd like to have, you know, more fun. How do you feel? You know, that sort of thing.
I think fun is like such a crucial word there, Lucille, because we stop having fun, you know, we stop laughing, we stop doing fun things. Like you said, we just get into this routine, we do the chores, we do the dishes, we sit down, we watch Netflix for an hour, we do the same routine every day. And it's, and of course it gets boring. It would get boring for anyone. Yeah. But I think it's, as women, it's almost up to us to keep the spark going, because men get kind of lazy and complacent. And I'm saying this from, you know, being with my man for almost 30 years, and they get kind of comfortable, you know, they're just,
yeah.
And it's kind of up to you. Like, I mean, I like to, you know, still dress up for him, even if we don't go anywhere. In fact, if I'm just inside the house, put a little makeup on and still wash my hair and look nice for him. And you know, or pinch his butt when I walk by him in the kitchen to show, you know what I mean? But to show that I'm not just, you know, your room. It's like to keep things alive. And I think that it's not that it's a pressure on us as women, but it's almost like the duties on us, because the man's not going to do it. They're just happy. Okay, I bought the cow. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable. All is good. But it's like, we're the ones that need to rewild the man, right? And to get them, get the animal instinct, yes, out of them, and to get something, get them excited about being with us. So, you know, drag him out of the house, Maya, mm-hmm, do something different with him, go away for the weekend, put on a sexy outfit and just walk down the stairs and, you know, watch his eyes light up, because we get lazy too. And if we're both lazy, two lazy people are not going to rekindle the romance. So somebody needs to take the initiative, and it's usually the woman. So once we lose the drive to do that as well, mm-hmm, then the relationship kind of goes downhill. But, you know, it looks like, Maya, that you have that interest and you love your husband very much. It's just try to do fun things with him. I think that's play, be like children and go out and have fun, be silly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, bring out that childlike quality. You know, you can bring that childlike quality out in you know, your romantic play. And yes, just like Lynn suggested, like, do something that's different for you. Bring out the wild in you and see how he reacts. I think that's a great idea.
Little champagne, chocolate dipped strawberries, you know, do something, right, unexpected. Because they say desire, what is, you know, to drive desire, you need something different, something unexpected, something risque, you know, something that is out of the norm. I mean, that's what gets people excited. So try something like that.
Yes, excellent.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of episode 6. I can't believe we're already down 6 episodes. Very, very exciting. Please keep sending us your questions, guys. Dr. Lucille, thank you for your amazing insight. I'm really enjoying doing these podcasts with you. It's such an honor, to be honest. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. And
I'm having a great deal of fun. I really enjoy listening to your feedback as well. You've had a really great input. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucille. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.